This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to Family Jewels. My name is Olga Kaul.
And I am Charlie Dinkin. Was that what I was meant to say?
Yeah, great.
Sure.
We used to have a thing where I was like, this is my best friend, Charlie Dinkin. And she's like, this is my colleague, Olga Kaul.
Honestly, could not remember it in my brain. So I was just reading it off my phone every single time, and it started to feel a bit stiff.
No, it's good. Can I just check something? I just texted my brother a family question, and I want to see if he responded first. Right, so he's not responding, so we abandoned that.
Is it a... Let's introduce you and continue with the podcast in order.
That sound you're hearing, that's the voice of Uba Butler.
Oh, was that... Were we recording? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
What have you texted your brother about?
I just want to know I've only got 3 levels of family tree, and I don't know beyond that. I think he knows more. And I was like, I just wanted to ask about my dad's parents, where they were born. Or
did you give him any context, or you just out of
like where he's into that stuff.
Yeah.
Into that stuff. Okay. So what I already know is that you have at least a dad's dad. A dad and a brother. 3 mystery men.
Yeah, there we go. Keep on piling them up.
Wait, so what was the 3 levels of family? You, your parents.
My granddad's parents, I've got to that. I know that.
Oh, wow.
But then beyond that, I don't. Oh, no, I do a little bit on my mum's side, I know more.
All right.
But yeah.
That's pretty far back.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start on the level 1. It's okay. You. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I've got 5 siblings.
You got 5 siblings?
Yes, I'm the youngest of 6.
Oh my God, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Grew up in a place called Feckenham, which is a really small village in the Midlands. My mum's family have been there for like 400 years, which is pretty crazy.
So you know 400 years, kind of.
That's the one bit where I'm like, yeah, I know that goes back. We're like the Davis family.
Do you know what they did?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, just labourers, basically.
Okay.
But my granddad worked in the needle mills in Redditch, because that's where...
Needle mill. Is that where you make needles?
Make needles. I actually did something recently.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's nice. There's actually a really nice story. I mean, I think it's nice because it's about my family. It won't be interesting, maybe, to you, but we'll give it a go. Where they used to, because they used to cycle from Feckenham to Redditch to go and work in the needle factory.
Sounds like a cartoon mouse.
It feels like, well, the image is basically what they used to do.
Cycling to the needle mill.
Mom remembers her mom telling her the story of that they would cycle past the window and they all in a line would go together and they would call up to the window and that would be the alarm and they would all cycle up like about 4 miles to the needle factory together. Like all these, like, you know, my granddad Arthur. And yeah, that was what he did. We all grew up in that village. It's about 700 people. That I was there till I was like 23, 24. Yeah.
Who are the other families in the area? Like, who are your rivals?
Rivals. I mean, I would say that with villages in general, as someone who's grown up in one, I don't have a romantic view of them, really. I have a kind of realistic view of them. And I think that, I was actually talking about this yesterday, that's why I've come in with a loaded vibe.
Please.
But, like, no, I just think that, like, a lot of what people in these kind of places now, is it serves commuters quite a lot, I would say.
Yeah.
And people move there with an idea of, like, from the Arches of, right, like, what a village is. Whereas, because I grew up in...
Village fate, barn dance, etc.
I mean, that definitely is true. Okay. That stuff is correct. True. But, like, it's also, like, very... It's quite rough. Like, we're at Feckenham, there's a lot of, like, farmers who are out of work. And there's, like, my mum's family are traditionally, like, one of the few remaining, like, working families of Feckenham or whatever. Like, there's no money in our family. But there's basically what I'm saying is there's a really select group of other families who are like us, but most of them have had to move out.
Got you.
So like there's us, which is the Davises, traditionally.
Yep.
This is so lame. Sorry.
then of the Feckenham Davises.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then there's the Stylers. There's the Stylers. Yeah.
Friends or enemies.
I love how you're willing to just name drop.
Friends or enemies, I gotta know.
Oh, no, they're not enemies. These are all just like more working class families of Feckenham. Whereas now it would be really difficult to live in Feckenham. I wouldn't have grown up in Feckenham if I was in this generation now.
Yeah.
Because there's just no work in a place like that. So that's why villages are becoming this like losing that thing that I said about... I felt like we grew up in an environment. I definitely was surrounded by a lot more, like a lot of my friends are quite middle class, but like and then really super old school posh people in the village as well, like a cartoon, like, oh, hello there, like really properly old school posh. But like, what I'm saying is it's like there are a very select group of like more just like, people who have been in the village for as long as we have. There's like, it's very much... I think we're on the last legs. Like, none of my siblings.
Yes, everyone gone.
My sister is still in Feckenham, but I'm not sure if she'll stay there long term. And that's quite sad. I mean, everyone's...
So the dream of the bicycles following each other is dead.
Yeah, they're going off a cliff like Wile E. Coyote now. It's, yeah. No, I mean...
An astute political cartoon.
it's like, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I grew up in a village. I couldn't drive... I was like, so it was like, and it's surrounded by these like miles of roads and countryside that are like, were loads of people that we knew either died in car crashes on it or had car crashes or got injured. Like, I can name like 20 people now who had that.
A lot of car crashes on my road too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, is it because there's like no public transport?
Yeah,
so people
exactly.
Drive drunk? Or?
Yeah, drunk driving. Little windy
roads. And I
guess
roads. No like lights as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, they're just, and it's also like insane 60 miles an hour roads. And like, my dad, by the way, used to drive up when he got back from the pub when he was younger, and he would drive with his car door open so he could see the middle of the road, so that he was like so that's like what we're dealing with. And it's just like, and I mean, to be fair to my dad, he only had one car crash on that. It was he went into a lamppost. And I don't think he was drunk that. No, he definitely wasn't. My dad's not a big drinker.
Well, when you're looking at the middle of the road, you're definitely not looking at the lamppost.
Well, I don't think he was driving quick, but like, anyway, so it was just like a really, it is quite interesting, like the view that we have of the countryside as a kind of a nation now, I feel. And like, in comparison to someone who actually grew up in it, I feel like there's a big difference. Especially, I don't think if you're in the southeast of England, I think, and you're in the home counties, I feel like there is quite an established idea of what it is, and that might be more like what people think it is. Mm-hmm. But in the Midlands, where I grew up, it's definitely not that kind of thing, I would say.
Did you find that, and I know this from my friends who grew up in Middle America, like I had a friend called Tracy who grew up in Ohio, and there was like nothing to do. Mm. And when you're not old enough to drink and all you could do is just like be in a field, they used to do this prank, I think they called buttering. which was they would take a stick of butter and then they would like stick it onto someone's mailbox and then run away or drive away.
Why?
Because it's like impossible to get. I mean, it apparently it's really difficult, especially in the cold, to get the butter off the.
Wow.
So I guess you like melt it a little bit.
Oh wait,
and then you stick it in the cold.
Okay, fine. Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
it's
yeah,
melted onto the mailbox, and then it's like
they can't pull it off because it's so buttered. What? That's a bad prank. I don't like that prank. That sucks. I thought you were gonna be like, she's like pushing over cows. She's like, whatever. Aren't people always doing things like that?
Yeah.
Well, butter on a mailbox.
Butter on a mailbox.
Come on. A waste of butter.
It is a waste of butter.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, was there sort of like, what was it like growing up in a place that's 700 people?
Yeah. Right. We would just like, I mean, we started drinking when we were like 13, so whatever. I mean, it's what it is.
Legend!
We had nothing else to do. Very I mean, cool. They were serving us in the pubs when we were about that age as well, which is insane.
Other 13-year-olds.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, but like, yeah, and it's like, the landlord's like, it was Paddy McWalter was the landlord, but he was like, you know, he'd been serving whatever, my grandparents, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. There was nothing. I mean, we had like loads of, there was quite a lot of like local stuff going on. Like we used to have a village pantomime that we'd all be in. It'd be once a year.
That's thrilling.
Which
what
makes sense for a pantomime.
Sorry? No, two pantomimes has really
yeah,
set things
like,
off
pantomime
here.
Pantomime is my jam. I gotta say something about that. Please make your pantomime comment.
Star role for you? Please.
No, I never had a star role. I was too young. But I had, what did I, because we were a bit of a mafia on the pantomimes. My dad wrote it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Maybe you didn't have
baby.
A starring role.
Nepo baby pantomime.
Was one of your siblings the star?
They were sometimes, right, not all okay. the time, but once.
Only if they earned
my,
it.
Yeah, my sister was Dorothy, Wizard of Oz. There was a Wizard of Oz pantomime. Oh, what was I? I was like, I was really young. Oh, I was Phil Mitchell in one of them.
What?
Don't know who that is.
A non-traditional
from EastEnders. That
Wait,
was like
what?
One of them was like a variety show. And the ending sequence of it was like this like thing that was based on the WWF, and I was Phil Mitchell.
Oh, it was kind of like a satirical like.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that was like the as they went on. I mean, originally it was like Robin Hood, Aladdin,
yeah. And then
Scrooge.
Your dad ran out of ideas.
Then yeah, I think they were just like to put a load of stuff together.
Phil Mitchell wrestling.
Yeah, that's a very clear image of my mate's dad, Henry, being Marilyn Monroe. That was great. And
oh,
singing.
Oh, that must have been thrilling.
Yeah, singing. What would it have been? I Want to Be Loved by You, yeah. Was it? Something like that. I can't remember.
Mr. President.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, something like that.
That's fun.
So we did that, and that would always just be like a big party. There was a lot of like, yeah, there was a lot of like stuff. We were in the youth club that was going on. I mean, loads of like gross camping parties where we would cause like, we went and filmed something the other day for a project I'm working on in Feckenham, and walking down the high street and speaking to people. And every single person that stopped was like, oh, I remember when you did this awful thing. And I was like, oh, God. Look, it makes like a really, kind of just made me sound like a absolute piece of work. But I wasn't like too like bad. I wasn't like stealing cars. I was just like doing silly shit like, you know.
I don't want to say. Marauding around the countryside.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like. We would, knock door runs. We used to make our own Jackass. We used to get there was a park bench on the village square that we'd put out in the middle of the road, and it'd be like, you'd play chicken and wait for the car. We'd all be sat on the bench. That was pretty fun.
The first thing they say is don't try and do it at home.
I know. But
that is a really good one.
Lo and behold. I remember stripping in the road. Oh my God, yeah.
Jesus. Lots of stuff happening on the road.
Yeah, lots of road stuff. I mean, there's a lot of camping parties. I mean, when we were younger, yeah, it was just like causing a ruckus, being naughty in a place with not much to do. Yeah, I mean, there was no shops when I was growing up. Oh, there's one shop, a camping shop called Barrett's.
Yeah, love a Barrett's.
Which I used to work at a later point and lost my job at.
Because you did something.
Just fell asleep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, that's not so bad.
On the break.
To how comfortable the...
Yeah, on the break. I was on my break. No. Unbelievable. There was like three pubs. One camping job, nothing else.
That's it.
And I feel like, I don't know. It was good. I had a really good upbringing, but I definitely grew up, I was there till I was like 22, 23. There's a lot of mute we used to put on gigs, stuff like that. But then, like, I feel like by the end of it, I was like very much. I have the opposite in me now. I find it really suffocating to be in quiet places.
What was the catalyst for you to move out?
Well, I think there was a few things. I think I always kind of wanted to, but that classic kind of small town thing where I'm not sure when I was going to, because I didn't go to university. I deferred, and I never went. I was working in a sort of a car factory around not far away, in stud, whatever, doesn't matter. And yeah, I mean, I was in a band, I was enjoying that. Like,
you had stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, I also, what finally it was my partner wanted to move down and had a job. So I was just like, yeah, finally. And that was kind of the catalyst to actually do it. And yeah, that was like, then, I mean, the first year in London, I think, is really hard. Like, weirdly, most people in the village a load of our friends in our original friendship group all moved down together. So we all still live here now, and we've got this weird, like, disproportionate amount of people from Feckenham in South London. Yeah, it's nice.
That's really cute. That's lovely. You could do the bench thing again.
We could do the bench thing. I think it would go very differently. We've got a camera set up now. but like, yeah, so I feel like it was like once I got down, first year was hard. And then after that was like, yeah, the best decision that was ever made in my life.
So you mentioned that your mom's family's all from Feckenham.
Yes.
How did she meet your dad?
So they met at... they met at Redditch College. My mum was in the nursing unit, so my mum's a nurse. And my dad is from Birmingham, from Sheldon. And he was going... my dad's story is funny. He, like, didn't even know Redditch is where that college was, not far from Feckenham, you know, like the nearest town to Feckenham, you know. And he was from Birmingham, so he's from the city. And he never heard of Redditch. So when he went to go to Redditch College, he was offered this sort of scholarship thing, and he got it. And he was, I hope it's by the seaside. Oh. And his mom packed him with a load of sandwiches and he got on the bus. Oh. And he fell asleep. He said he'd just fallen asleep, and it had been 50 minutes or whatever, and then it was like, I'll get off Redditch. And he got off on Unicorn Hill, which is the, like, main road in Redditch, and was like, what a shithole. I mean, that's like, no...
I sea and signs.
Yeah, a really high expectation.
Yeah. I mean, he just wanted to be by the sea, but, like,
what a way to go off into the world. I love that.
It's like, yeah, it's so different.
A bag of
it?
Sandwiches and a fin crossing your fingers for a sandy beach.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, so... I mean, I don't want to disparage Redditch too much. It's where I'm from.
We can bleep it out, don't worry.
No, it's fine.
Because then we can have our listeners guess.
We're allowed to be... I think if you're from somewhere, you're allowed to be disparaging.
Yeah, you definitely are. It's yours.
Yeah, it's worse if you're being shitty about somewhere you don't even know about.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm always say, Islington, another brunch place?
Boom. So they met at college, at Redditch College. They saw each other in the canteen, and very cute, very young. I think they were like 19, 20,
kind of thing. So young.
Yeah, and then
they were like, let's have 6 children together.
Weirdly, like on one of their first dates, they were like, my mom said that she wanted 6 kids. Yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
And then she's like, come to Feckenham, and he's like, hope it's on the beach.
Yeah, genuinely. He said, and my dad tells his story about when he first went to Feckenham, and he was a bit like, this is a bit weird. I need to get out of the house here. Because it was like very involved. And then he like went out to the pub, and the guy, you know, sat behind the bar was my mom's uncle. And he was like, shit, okay. Exactly. Then he went somewhere else. Went to the football club for a pint. Her granddad was behind the bar. And then
That's an A24. Yeah,
genuinely. And it's like, yeah, so it was like every single place. It was like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, yeah, who I'm dating. Go, oh, who's the girl? Oh, you know, Vicky Chambers. Oh, okay, yeah, I know her. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's my granddaughter. You know, like that kind of thing.
Terrifying.
Which is funny, because my dad was from Birmingham, a big city. It's the opposite, you know, the opposite. So, so that was mom and dad. And, I mean, they started trucking in their early 20s, and then they were all done by the time they were like my age. Wow. So,
oh my God.
A different time. A different time.
That truly is a different time. So what made them want to go to Fagenham instead of Birmingham?
I just don't think
they already knew everyone.
This is true.
I think that's where my mum was from. I don't think there was ever really a there was that.
She sounds like a woman who knew what she wanted. Yeah, she was like six kids,
and also all of her mum and her dad were there. Her brother was still there. Yeah. Her sister was still there. Her whole family is still there. You know, it's still a lot. If you know, still at home, there's still a lot of our family. And like, you'll be at school and someone's your cousin. You didn't even realize that was quite weird. You were like, oh, you know. Seth's your cousin.
We all lost our virginities. Yeah.
Gotta do that Icelandic.
Yeah.
They're looking on an app to see. But it's not if they're related. They all definitely are related.
Right, yeah.
It's like how related.
Yeah, how far back does it go? Not that bad.
Cousins are fine.
Mom didn't want that, I think. That's why she went to Birmingham. I don't know why they went to Birmingham. That's a good question. I don't think there was ever. I think Dad was a bit of a lost soul. He had a bit of a difficult upbringing, and I think that he was sort of looking, and Mum's upbringing was the opposite. It was like ultra just like,
yeah, and
like
it probably was just like so tempting to see a family unit that's like,
yeah,
I mean, it always, every time I see community that's that tight knit, whenever anyone's like, oh yeah,
so like exciting,
having dinner with my parents every week, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
What was your upbringing like?
Well, I haven't lived in the same country as my parents since I was 13, 14.
Fucking
so, like, the idea of being close to your parents is crazy to me. I see them maybe, like, three times a year.
Mm. Yeah, do you speak a lot?
Maybe, like, weekly, I'd say.
That's quite a lot.
I guess. But there are people who, like, talk to their mom every day.
Mm.
Not us.
Not you?
Not us.
You?
Not us girl mom friends.
They're
I see
in
my
Florida.
Parents when I see them. They're in Florida. I'll see them. It'll be nice to see them. I'll catch up when there's some drama.
Right.
What news is that to discuss?
This is true. It's like, it's very difficult to have a conversation with my parents unless we are being mean to somebody else. And if there's no one to be mean to, we're going to be mean to each other. So you need to tap out.
And is that, I'm going to get this wrong, they're in Germany.
They're in Germany, yes.
Yeah, right,
oh my God,
yeah.
I can't believe you remember. Wow,
yeah,
thank you.
I know,
you.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
In Florida. Okay.
There we go.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, so I don't know. So that close-knit thing is really nice. I mean, we were just back at Christmas and there was like 16 of us. Mom and Dad's house is really small and it was like, I was sleeping on the floor and it was like 16 of us. So my nieces and nephews, all siblings for the first time in about 5 years. And it was like, yeah, it was
coordinating
amazing.
Is a lot.
Yeah, but it was intense, but it was amazing. I wasn't cooking this year, so it was good. But yeah,
you
it's nice.
Like industrial sizes, like vats.
Yeah, when I'd cooked for the first time about 10 years ago, maybe not quite. But then I went and got my dad to buy all these gastros. Like you're in like a fucking like traveling kit fucking breakfast. And so now they get used. They're like brought out once a year and used. But yeah, it's nice.
What's your age difference, older sibling to you?
10 years.
Oh, tight.
Yeah.
So every 2 years?
Yeah. And then my brother and my two eldest brothers are Irish twins. So as close as they can be without being twins.
Oh, my God.
This
happens more frequently than I had ever expected.
What?
We've had, like, what, 8 episodes and, like, 2 or 3
Everyone's
people have
like,
had
my
this?
Siblings are Irish twins. Like,
really?
Everyone's born really close.
Yeah, right.
What are these moms doing? You're 10 years, but with no one in between, with your siblings.
Yeah, the only... My parents fuck every decade. So we're overdue a kid. We're overdue a fourth.
It would be a surprise now.
I can't even think of something that happens once a decade other than your parents fucking. Yeah. What happens once a
my
decade?
My dad was 19, lost his virginity to my mom. Bam, she's pregnant. Okay? They would wait 12 years for a normal time to have a kid. Me, I'm the only planned one, obviously.
Yeah.
And then my mom thinks she's like menopausal. 43, 44, she pops out another one.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
3 only children?
Yeah. And we all have completely different parents. Like, if we broke the rules, if we, for example, showed up after curfew, all 3 sets of those parents would act completely differently because they were, like, in their 20s, in their 30s, or in their 40s.
Do you think you got the best deal?
I think my sister had the funnest ones. My favorite story is that on her 18th birthday, my mom was what... On her 18th birthday, my mom was like 40, not even. So they all like went clubbing and took shots together.
Really?
Like, I would never. And like, yeah, because my mom was like a hot 38-year-old.
Right, yeah.
Can you repeat for this podcast the story of you being taken to a nightclub with your dad's friend?
So, for some reason, I have no idea. I think we were vacationing in Spain as a family, but my parents don't like sitting in one place. So it will be like, we'll do 5 different cities and we'll spend 16 hours in each city. And then it's back in the car because we need to see as much as possible.
Yeah, right,
so
yeah.
Somehow we end up in Ibiza on a family holiday, which is like, why are you there? But I was 17, I want to say. And I was like, I can't believe I'm in Ibiza. This is my first time here and I'm not going to go to a nightclub. Like, why would you do this to me? How would you do this to me?
Yeah.
And then my dad's like, you can go, but you obviously can't go alone. So he's like, I'm not going to go. So his 50-year-old friend Ralph went with me famously in fucking Birkenstocks. And I was just...
German. Is he German? Yeah, yeah, yeah. German, he's got a bit.
It was the most mortified I've ever been because I was like, I guess I'm getting what I want, but I'm getting it with a 50-year-old man in cargo shorts. And the thing is, I obviously dress up because like I'm not going to be caught dead not looking cute at Pasha at 19. But I was just like, everyone thinks I'm his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And like, he's not even trying with me. Like, I'm a hot 17-year-old and he's like, he thinks he can...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Cargo shorts.
Did he buy you an alcoholic beverage?
He bought himself an alcoholic beverage.
What did you have?
Oh, I didn't have anything. We left like 15 minutes in because I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I can't flirt with anybody. Sure.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
You and your minder.
I think there's quite a lot of German men in Birkenstocks and cargo shorts in Pasha.
We also went probably at like 10:45. Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, right, yeah. That's funny.
Mortifying story. So if anyone does ask me, that was the one and only time I've ever been to Ibiza. So if anybody has asked me if I've ever partied there, I technically have.
Technically, yes.
I was there for like 24 hours for a magazine feature once. Went to Pasha.
Yeah, how was that?
It was fun. I got really sick the next day. This is boring.
What was the angle?
The whole thing was like, we're trying to find the person having the most fun in Ibiza.
Was it you?
We found a guy who ran the hotel. He was like,
who's having a great time?
He was a full Ibiza pilled kind of Brit who'd been there for a long time.
Yeah, that's exactly who I'd be imagining.
Yeah, yeah, just like, you know, he's in his 50s, he's partied with everyone.
His name's Ralph, by the way.
Yeah. It was your dad's friend, Ralph.
He stayed. I left 15 minutes in. But
did he actually?
No, of course he came with me.
Okay, fine.
But what I want to say, one of my favorite experiences was Charlie and I recently went to Barcelona, and we were there Saturday during the day on the beach, and we walked by Pasha, and it was rammed full of just men. Do you remember?
Some,
they were like networking.
Some on laptops.
Where they're?
Yeah, some were on laptops.
Barcelona Pasha. There's a Pasha in Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
By the beach.
Oh, right.
And loads of dudes were in there sitting on their laptops.
Yeah, because I think
really?
They were
in
spots. I guess they were like, yes.
It must have good Wi-Fi.
We could call them Germans. We can name them. Go on.
But showing up ahead of time. So by the time the girls start coming, they're already there.
Mm.
And
they put it 6 to 8 hours of work.
It's and they have the best seats.
They got the best seats in the house.
Fucking
showing
hell.
Up to Pasha at noon to put your coat on every chair.
Yeah.
It looked terrible.
That's fun. I mean, you should have gone in.
Absolutely.
You have to. If that's such a weird vibe. If there's something that bizarre, you've got to sample it.
We looked through the window. We enjoyed it. You moment of imagination.
Okay, I've just had a memory unlocked. May I please?
You please, yes.
With
you must.
So there was a sort of nightlife renaissance in Russia in the early 2000s that was like, in the 90s, it was just like Eurotrashy because it was just the first nightclubs ever opening post the Soviet times.
Yes.
And they were just like chaotic. And I think in the 2000s, they got a little classier because, like, more people from abroad started showing up. That, like, I guess, like, whoever the promoters were would be going to European clubs and being like, all right, we need to dial this down.
Yeah, right.
And so the first sort of, like, fancy club started opening. And I distinctly remember that there was a club called Black October. And it was a cinema called Red October because everything was, like, Soviet named, obviously. Yeah. And in the basement was Black October, which was, like, the nightclub.
Mm.
But during the day, it was a coffee shop that then turned into a nightclub at a certain time. So if you didn't have ID or were 14 years old like me, you go there as a coffee shop,
really?
And you just like hide in the just bathroom stay. Until they convert it. So I want to explore farther into your bloodline. So, okay, what are your grandparents on your mother's side doing in Fakenham?
Grandparents on mom's side. Right, okay. So Nan's line is the one that's been there forever.
Okay.
And then Grampy's line, Redditch. So that's like the town nearby.
So what I'm hearing is...
men looking for the sea, finding women.
Yeah,
in
so this is the sirens of Fakenham.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the lure of Fakenham. come back. I mean, Geoffrey Chaucer was the clerk of the works in Fakenham back
what?
In the yeah. So
whoa.
So because it used to be like royal. It was a forest, an old, and there was like a royal. There was like a hunting lodge that the king had in Fakenham. It was like royal. Like, so it's quite a historic place, but now it's just really fucking small. And Redditch, the, like, place to be.
Yeah.
Built for,
the big
like,
city.
Yeah, built big city. Where I went to school is where my grandfather's line's from. All just, like, they're all just factory workers. I recently did, for a film that we're doing, one of the producers of Who Do You Think You Are gave me like three lines of my family. And I was like, what are we saying? She's like, basically all steel workers from the Midlands. I was like, fantastic, great.
Love the flavour, love the colour, love the detail.
Yeah. Although there's one, I was excited by one. I was like, and loads and loads and loads of people. They'd all got like, it's all like 16 siblings, 18 siblings.
God.
It's so many people. So she was like, look, if I actually was to make your family tree, it would be like the size of this. Like, you've got so many.
You could be related to anyone. It really
great,
could be exciting.
Thanks. We're in my head a lot. So, yeah, I mean, but their mom. Yeah. So then there's on that side, that's the Chambers family in Redditch. There's an Augustus. I liked that because I like my Roman history.
That fun.
And I was like, ooh, that sounds more fancy. And she was like, no, it's just a trend. But I like all the aristocracy. All the aristocracy came back and then people started copying them using these slangs.
Yeah.
I was like, fantastic.
Amazing.
Great. Yeah. More of that. Perfect.
Are they religious? Is that why we're talking so many kids?
My dad's side are all Catholic, but my mum's side are all Protestant. But I'm Catholic. We're Catholic. But so, no, I just think that we were just working class in a time where everyone had shitloads of kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that was it. I think loads of them died. Like, on my mum's side, in our local Fakenham, the graveyard, my mum's grandmother, Lily, used to work at Hanbury Hall. She was like, which, you know, our kind of Downton Abbey of the area.
Yep.
And she died at 42 of tuberculosis.
Oh, no.
With two of her kids as well. And they're still buried in the graveyard in Fakenham.
Oh, no.
But there's still like a family story, which is interesting, where she was on her deathbed. And Lady.
Is this your grandmother or
great grandmother?
Great grandma.
And Lady Vernon, who's like the, you know, the lord, the lady of the manor of the local place. She used to work as a handmaiden there, my great-grandmother, and she was on her deathbed, and Lady Vernon came to visit her, and, like, my grandmother had to go and get, like, the best china in the house, and this woman's, like, on her deathbed still trying to, like... and, like, it's quite like a famous story within the family, and, like, my nan told it to, like, my mom, and it's, like, just so... It says something so...
Yeah, to really, like, host her in a way that felt,
yeah, on her deathbed.
Literally.
It's
like,
just
oh,
so...
God,
and two of her kids... Yeah, like, my grandmother ended up being kind of the mother of that family, and all of her... Because there was, you know, 9 of them, I think, and two of them died. Was it more than that? 10, maybe. But then, like, my two of my great... auntie and my great uncle are still alive, and they, and you know, she basically was their mom essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, so that, and my mom, my mom's grandmother's line is like, we don't know, we think they're travelers, because there's, and I did that Who Do You Think You Are thing, because they're like just listed on the census as shepherds. And my uncle always used, when he was drunk, used to say, like, he's still alive. But he used to be like, oh, we're from a line of travellers or whatever. And I was like, okay. I just thought he was bullshitting. But I think that's what that is.
Oh, I see.
But then my mum's...
When do they come into the family tree?
That's my... that'd be my great-great-grandparents.
Great-great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where I know till.
That's pretty
That's
good.
Impressive. You, I feel like yeah. you came in so self-conscious being like, guys, I'm really, really sorry. I don't know.
I'm trying to revise this.
Who I was related to 500 years.
But the, yeah, I think that the Arthur Davis, that's the like, because my middle name's Arthur. And my nephew, my brother's just had a baby and he's Arthur now. But Aww. There, but it, he.
Are you going to have an Augustus? Is that the point?
Fucking said that as soon as I was like, I would go for Octavian if you like. Yeah. And I was just like, no, he's gonna think I'm a little snot nosed rich kid, isn't it? But no, I would love an Augustus. But yeah, no, my mum's family, all Feckenham basically. Arthur Davis, that line, her mother's line. This is just getting so complicated. There's lots of Arthur Davises, and they've been in Feckenham for 300 or 400 years, and that's as far as that goes, and that we don't know when they get to Feckenham, we don't know, but there's lots of them, yeah, which is fun.
Is Chaucer the main famous person? Who are the apocryphal famous people from around?
Yeah, there's a cricketer who lived next door to us for a while.
Hey,
I can't remember his name, but it was in the 90s, and he was next door to us for a little bit. Who else is there? There's someone else as well.
Uber Butler?
Oh, yeah, the big top. Yeah, big top Uber Butler.
Chaucer Butler, that's what they say.
Chaucer Butler. I don't know. John de Feckenham, there you go. Archbishop of Canterbury.
Oh, yeah, that's
so,
oh, wow.
So it's like, that's kind of...
Okay, I'm foreign. So it's okay. Is to have an Archbishop of Canterbury, that's like to have a pope.
Yeah, it's the baddie pope. So okay. the Protestant pope. No, oh, God.
No, just the Anglican pope, right?
Yeah, I know. I was just being funny. I was a bit saying that the Anglicans were the baddies. But,
Right. No, sorry. Nope. Now I get it. That was
just
doing,
yeah.
Because in my head, I'm like, baddie, like sunglasses.
No, yeah. So, yeah.
Motorcycle.
John de Feckenham. Yeah, motorcycle pope. No, John de Feckenham is like, yeah, he was also from Feckenham, 14th century, probably. Actually, I think it's a bit earlier. It's in the Doomsday Book and all that.
All right.
It's quite an old school place.
What
Feckenham,
about...
it's in the Doomsday Book.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. What about your dad from Birmingham? What's his side like?
Fucking hell, finally, we're onto dad. there's so much, isn't there? There's lots of people. I live in Peckham, and I had a guy stop me recently, and he was like, oh, we're related. And I was like, yeah, sure we are, man. And I was like, and then about 2 weeks ago, this was about 2 years ago, and 2 weeks ago, my brother went, oh, yeah, one of our cousins lives in Peckham. He said that he ran into you once. And he used to be a fan of your work, and now he knows you're related. I'm not fucking on. What I can't is Feckenham's following me wherever I go.
That's like your dad in the
Yeah, park. It's true. No, that was, which was, it was just cool. But like, I think basically my dad's side, it is Birmingham steelworkers mainly, but there's an Irish line.
Can I just say, sorry, before we get it to your dad, it must be one of the most mortifying feelings in the world to be like, oh, they're recognizing me for the work. No, they're your cousins.
Yeah, he's your cousin. Oh, wow. Oh, so thank you so much for your, like, you know, recognition.
Do you want a photo?
This is
why
please. I do
an autograph. Oh, my God. My mom told me, my mom said she'd gone to a great aunt's funeral and she'd sat next to someone who was like one more removed. And she was like, oh, you have a cousin who's in a punk band. And I looked them up and I was like, oh shit, this is cool. They're like girls in their 20s. They're like amazing. There's like obviously one weird one in the back. They're all the sexiest. No offense to them. Their music is good. I won't say their name. They're like honestly the sexiest woman you've ever seen. And then there's like me in the back. She's like doing percussion. She's wearing no makeup. She looks super uncomfortable.
No.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
You're selling yourself short.
The only one who can drive. Yeah.
The responsible.
The one with Riz.
Look, I feel like she's doing a lot of the behind the scenes work. I respect that. Yes, sorry, your dad.
No,
Birmingham
Steel. Yeah, Birmingham, a lot of steel workers again. But there's a lot of, that side is like, my dad's 23andMe is like 90% Irish.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is, Mannions, so is my Irish side. And that's, there's so many Mannions.
So his Catholic is stronger than your mom's Protestant and that's why he won? Because he's like, I'm Irish, you can't make me convert.
Yeah, no, my dad wouldn't have done that. My mom was, I think he was more fussy. I don't know. Yeah, like, I'm not religious, and none of my siblings are religious, but my mom and dad both believe in God.
But there's a difference between not being religious and having an Irish person convert from Catholicism.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't be doing that.
In the local church, which is like where my mum's grandparents and great-grandparents, yada, 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 were married, Feckenham Church, St. John the Baptist, my mum and dad were the first ever wedding that had, they had to do two weddings. They had to have a Anglican and a Catholic one.
That's thrilling.
Oh my God, how it should be.
Yeah, it's like nice that they got to do it, and also
two with like 90% of the same content though.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not that
so
different.
Like the guy changes his hat slightly. And you're like, wow, it's so Catholic now. Yeah, but they were like, they had
just
to get like
touch more guilt.
Yeah, a lot more guilt. Yeah, that so they were like the first ever family to do that, couple to do that in Feckenham.
That's historic. That's amazing.
Yeah, they had to get permission from like the archdiocese and all this stuff. It was like a thing.
They were like, neither of us is going to give in and change our minds.
I don't know. My mom's like, I'm a people pleaser. So is my mom. And I think my dad would just never, that would have never been something he would have done. No chance. I mean, like, yeah, there is, yeah. I don't know.
Think it's cool as hell.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. Like,
I also just like the fact that they're like, yeah, we'll get married. We'll just have two weddings.
Yeah, it was like back to back. They did the services back to back.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And they, I mean, it was just like, yeah, funny. So, I mean, my dad's, I think all of his side is all Catholics, but there's like some, there's a one Welsh line. Then there's the Fitzmaurices, which sounds Irish, doesn't it? There's the Bruces, they're Irish. That's what I was just texting my brother. I was like, how is it so Irish when only one of them we know is born in Ireland? We went there. I went there with my brother and my cousins about 6 weeks ago. We went to the cow shed they all lived in. It was crazy. It's in the family history. And like our aunt, our great auntie did it like 50 years ago.
And
knew
the actual place?
Yeah, we went to like, it's so hard to find. And then like we stopped a guy at the side of the road and he was like, oh, Mannions, Ballyharness. And he like drove us over here and like drove us to the old family farm.
What?
And then, yeah, it was crazy. And like, yeah, like that's where and in the family history, it details it was just basically a cow shed. And there was 13 of them. And they all basically went to North America. So there's a lot of it's on like Ancestry and stuff. There's loads of like New Jersey Fire chiefs and like things like that. And they have like a Mannion Fest every year, which is like where you can go and meet a load of Mannions. Which I didn't know about until literally.
So, but your family moved from Ireland directly to Birmingham.
Yeah, so my Michael Mannion, my great-grandfather. Yeah,
there's a comedian called Michael Mannion in Manchester.
Is there?
I wonder if you're related.
Potentially.
Send him an autograph, cut out the middle.
Yeah, I mean, that would be good. My dad's, Michael Mannion moved over, and then one of them stayed in Ireland, and then the rest of them all went to North America.
When you went to that shed in Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm a sentimental person, but did you have like something wash over you?
I mean, it was
fiddle music just playing in your heart.
I think because we've always been a bit of a, like, and my cousins are quite similar. Like, we were a bit of a clan, and like we're quite like, we were like, you know, sharing fucking so many people around constantly, and all of the kids locally would always come to our house, and it was like, there was like. My uncle said once he came down the garden and he counted like 40 people and had like kids. People would like, villagers would just like drop their kids at my parents' house. My mom is the people pleaser, which I said, would always be like, yeah, sure, whatever. My dad would get back from work and would be like, whatever, okay, fine, I'm so tired. And mom was like, you know, in and out of, she was a nurse, so she was like in and out of like being on paternity, loads of obviously maternity leave because she had so many kids, and then was back at work and then and all that stuff. So like we've always felt like very family kind of, it was always very much a shared thing. So I think the fiddle music, I always felt more, that feels to me what I associate with the Irish, that Irish kind of thing. When I go up to Liverpool a lot for the football, that feels quite similar when you've got like these kind of like, this is a very Irish city, very Catholic city as well. Most in Britain, by mile, the most Catholic city. Yeah, it's crazy. More so than Glasgow. Like Glasgow's about 20-odd% Irish. Liverpool's like 50.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at it, but I always felt this sounds. I don't know. It's probably more of a feeling than a reality. But like, I definitely always felt that's sort of the line that I feel the most. But I mean, is that true? Because the Feckenham thing is so important as well. because that's a space and a physical mm-hmm. thing, whereas the Irish thing's like a feeling of, oh, this is kind of who we are.
But even that's two quite strong things, probably in a spread of even some other things.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie and I were discussing about how there's this, like, there is a comfort. Again, I'm not part of a community like that. I've only ever seen it from afar. But mm-hmm. if you are in a religious minority in a country, there is a sense of community that just by default can't happen in the majority of religion.
Right.
So I do think, like, by default, the, like, Catholics are a minority in England. And so you wouldn't have,
like,
that with C of E.
With something that's, like, feels like an interesting thing about you and
yeah.
about your group.
I'd say, yeah, and I'm significantly more Russian Orthodox outside of Russia than I am ever
right.
am when I am in Russia.
I don't even think about that, obviously, yeah. Because I mean, that's... I guess in Russia, it's the majority religion by mile, isn't it?
Yeah. But then obviously...
But outside, yeah, yeah.
So but, whenever, like, there's a Russian Orthodox... I don't know if it's still there, but I used to go there maybe, like, 15 years ago
mm-hmm.
In Kensington, I think.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, like, in the middle of nowhere there. And I was like, the thing is, I'm not a religious person.
No, but you feel...
Yeah, but whenever I was in there, I was like, oh, my God, my
you're,
people.
You're, like, fond of it.
My people.
Yeah, right.
I think you get more drawn as well to something that, like, if a parent of yours is more fond of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, my mum raised Catholic. My dad raised Jewish. My dad, much fonder of Judaism than my mum is of Catholicism.
Right.
So even though I've not really engaged with either, I feel... closer, more interested in the Jewish part than the Catholic part, because it was like no one was ever like, this is our thing about that.
Right. Yeah, totally. I think you're 100% right. I think that it's like, I think that I didn't grow up religious. We used to go to, like, I don't have any real feeling of religiousness at all, to be honest. I feel so detached from it, all of it. Culturally, definitely have. My dad, it was a big part of his growing up. He went to the Catholic school and you know, there was obviously a lot of friction there. And he had, like, people at school who were involved in bombings and things like that during, obviously, the RAF bombings in Birmingham and everything. So, yeah, it, like, played a huge... And, like, the Protestant kids would fight the Catholic kids in Birmingham. And it was, like, the big thing, you know. Whereas for us, we grew up in fucking Feckenham.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the perfect, almost in a way, the perfect place to grow up. Because it was, like, you know, I didn't ever feel... We didn't feel like we were poor or whatever. We were surrounded by kids who were of all different classes. And it was, and we were kind of all mishmash. And it was... As a village, it was sort of, like, a real microcosm. And, like, loads of people... We had, like, loads of... just older rich people who took big interest in our family, which was really nice. And, like, because they would be like, you know, be like Richard Hillman and Janie, his wife, like, lived in this big house, and they used to let us come and use their pool. Cool. And they were like, and he was like Scrooge in the pantomime. and he would tell us stories of just, he was in, like, the Secret Service. He was in East Berlin and he was there when they put the wall up. And it was like, you got access to, like, this real,
yeah,
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it was like a really odd way to grow up. Because I think that if you grow up in a city, maybe you don't have the same thing because everything's smaller in it. And then you'd also get, you know, the farmers in the local pub who would tell you the most horrific stories that you could about, like, you know, local fucking tittle tattles of shagging stories and, like, people in the doing stuff in the graveyard.
Like, okay, I want to know what was fun in your family. Did you have, like, would you get together as a family, play games? What's Christmas like? What are birthdays like? What is the vibe? Family trips, family holidays.
You didn't really go on holiday. We used to go to, every so often we'd go to, it was just too many of us. But we'd sometimes, there's a few times where my dad would hire a minibus. This has happened, say, two or three times. And then drive to the coast, Wales.
Great.
Yeah, but otherwise, whenever we travelled, it would be mum and dad in the front, Pete, Emma, and James in the back, in the, you know, on the real back seats, and then me, John, and Becky, the youngest, just lay across the boot with a blanket.
Because you have to hide from people seeing you.
Yeah, do you have to hide from the cops?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. That's so exciting though, because you're a little team.
That's a pure and perfect. You know what? Yeah. That is a perfect childhood holiday because you can never get it back.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to have that experience again.
Well, we had I had one where I don't think I was in the car, but then there was one where my mum was like going insane because of all the kids, and my dad was like, okay, we're taking you out. And drove up, we're near the Malvern Hills, we're not far from that. And my dad drove up a track he didn't realise was not for cars. And they got to think they were literally, all of my brothers and sisters were in the car with him. I think I'm not sure if I was there. I don't think it was. I think it was 2 years. And it literally got to a point where it was like, it was like this on a slant. And Dad was like, I didn't know what the fuck to do. He's like terrified, panicking. Anyway, managed to get everyone to sit, and so one of them started crying, and then basically sit on another part of the car, and then they managed to get it back.
That's like balance it out.
Yeah, exactly. Genuinely, it's fucking sad.
Wait, with weight?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
My dad would always, but Dad used to be like going on a magical mystery tour, and he'd just drive to somewhere like.
That's a reason to have a lot of kids.
Somewhere in Birmingham.
A lot of kids, so you can rebalance the car as it goes over a cliff.
It's fucking insane, is it? It sounds like a made-up story, but it's genuinely not.
It's amazing.
But yeah, that was me.
That's the most exciting thing that can ever happen to a child.
I think traumatizing. And my sister still goes on about it.
I love it. All right, shall we wrap up? Do you have anything you'd like to promote?
No, I mean my documentary, The Great Amazon Heist.
You must.
Get it on Channel 4.
It's incredible.
You simply Thank must. You.
Yeah, you can get it
Why
on.
Why haven't you already?
Exactly. You can get it on Channel 4's YouTube or on Channel 4 Player. And then soon in other countries, but not 100% sure that's being happening right now.
Very exciting.
Thank you so much. Right. Thank you for coming.
Enjoyed that.
All right. If you want to, what do we say at the end of this? If you want to send us a message, do it.
DM us or leave it in your will.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.